Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to the podcast today on this eighth day of February 2021. My name is Joanne, and I want to thank you so much for joining me for time of Bible study and truth. We're going to dive into a sticky subject. It's one that I have observed over the years that when it goes in this direction, people stiffen up, and it's in the area of bad doctrine, theological error, or false teaching. And so the application today has to do with people who have been wounded from previous church experiences or bad teaching. And so the Lord has a great word today, and I'm happy to bring it today. I'm bringing it to you with joy and with confidence and faith, you know, just for the love of God, just to surround you and to heal you of wounds, maybe to help set us straight in some of the things that He wants us to know. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for your amazing truth. We thank you that you are the God of truth and that your truth always drives out lies. And so, Father, we rejoice today in your love for us to keep us on solid ground. God, to keep us in a firm place to stand. You love your people. And there's nothing to fear in you. So we just give you praise, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen. Okay, this was something that happened over the weekend as I picked up an online discipleship thing that I had been doing earlier in the winter. And the Lord gave me just this really neat download about how to be free from false teaching and the things that would keep us from receiving specifically the truth of the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do. So then I joined into this women's study over the weekend at church, and they were talking about bad doctrine, false teaching, false teachers, all that kind of stuff as well. So I kind of got excited. Here's the other thing. I texted a friend, because she came to my mind that one evening. And so I sent her a text and I said, hey, this is what I feel like the Lord has shown me. And she texted me back and she said, I just spoke this same thing to some people in Branson. So this is really exciting to me when there's this many confirmations. It means that this is what Father is speaking. Yeah. And I'm excited because He's doing this for His church. He's actually bringing His church into greater alignment with His truth. And something that I've always said is the 1 degree principle. You know what a compass is in, you know, geometry and algebra and math? You know, you got 180 degrees as a straight line. You've got 90 degrees as a right angle, 45. You get down to the 1 degree line on a compass, and it's barely a millimeter difference, okay? It doesn't seem like being 1 degree off is that big of a deal until you go 100 miles down the road, okay? If you're traveling along at 1 degree off, I want you to know when you get way on down the road, you haven't met your destination, okay? So the Lord, because of His love, He will bring us into correction, even if it's as simple as one verse of scripture. Maybe there's just been one verse that we have seen inaccurately, and He will teach us what it really means. And then there's just a precision and an accuracy to help us reach our destination. Okay? I'll give you an example of that. This scripture that's in 2 Timothy, when Paul wrote to Timothy, adds verse 16, when he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Did you know that when Paul wrote that, there was no New Testament? I mean, this blew my mind when I finally realized that when Paul was talking about all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, he was referring to the Old Testament. He was referring to the law. And the early church, the New Covenant, New Testament church, they didn't have a New Testament yet. That was over 100 years on down the road. All they had was the Old Testament. But guess what? That was what they used to show that Jesus was the Christ. So, I mean, that's a mind-blowing revelation of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul was referring to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, what we know as the Old Testament. So sometimes just one accurate explanation can totally make a difference in how we view God or his truth or what he is saying to us. So I just give the Holy Spirit glory and praise and honor, because Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. It even says in 1 John chapter 2, you have an anointing. You have been given an anointing, the Holy Spirit, and that anointing teaches you. So each one of us is given an anointing of the Holy Spirit that he can teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. I think it's a huge, huge doctrinal error to think that we can only receive from other people, that we can't receive from the Holy Spirit. Let's see. False teaching, bad theology, doctrinal error. As I said, I notice people stiffen up because they're so afraid that God's going to be ticked off at them. You know, if you teach the wrong thing, or if someone teaches the wrong thing, then they're going to get judged. And I don't want to downplay the severity of the Lord's instruction in the book of Jude, that God does take it seriously when we misrepresent his word and live contrary to his truth. But yet at the same time, we also have to know that he loves us. And occasionally there will be people who get it wrong, and our response and how we deal with it is a mark of our maturity. Father's heart, as I said, one degree, he just wants us to get to our destination. He loves us. And I want to take off the anger and the fear element about this. I mean, we have reverential fear, but we don't want to have that unhealthy fear. We need to understand his heart of love towards us. Even one of the verses of scripture over the weekend that I believe the Lord was directing me in this is Psalm 103, verse 4, where it says, he redeems our life from destruction. Okay? It says, love and his kindness, anything that would destroy us, he'll buy it back. Okay? It's the love of our Father. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. And this is the story of the Bereans. It starts about verse 10. It says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now the Bereans, they were more noble-minded than the believers in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, they were teachable, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether or not these things were so. So here you have Paul and Silas bringing the message of the new covenant to the Bereans, and they're going to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, to see if these things are so. And here's what I want to point out about the Bereans, is that they were teachable, they were ready to listen, but they themselves went to the scripture and searched out to see if it's true. Okay? And, you know, even as I present truth, whether it's on radio or whether it's on the podcast or whether you listen to a pastor or any teacher on YouTube or the internet or whatever, each of us has the responsibility to get into the word and find out if what we're hearing is true. Okay? We each have a responsibility to spend that time where the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into all truth. All right, we don't negate our responsibility totally. All right, that's just not wise, and we actually can fall into doctrinal error and false teaching if we don't keep ourselves in the truth of God's word. And I also want to say this, you know, for teachers and leaders, we have to be around people who also speak truth into us, even if it's hard truth. Because if we only surround ourselves with people that are like ourselves and only believe what we believe, then how would we ever know if we've gotten into doctrinal error? If we're not exposed to people who are different from us to kind of sand off our rough edges. I mean, there's just a lot of spiritual protection in being around people who might have a different viewpoint than us. Okay, so we also have to be careful that we don't just stay in a bubble, okay, of people who are like us, because how would we ever know if maybe we're inaccurate? Something I've kind of come to, you know, we have so many different denominations, so many different ways that people practice their Christianity. And every one of them thinks that they're 100% right. And you know, that just can't be so. Not every denomination, Protestant Christian denomination, as different as they are, because you've got one extreme over here that, you know, is like you're charismatic, and over here you've got your liturgical people. How can they both be right? Okay, how can they both be 100% right? Maybe they're 90% right. Maybe one is 75% right. This is the majesty and the grace of God, is that the church has thrived. It has continued in spite of people who were in error. The church, the power of the gospel is so strong and great, is that even through fallible people, the word, the gospel, is still infallible. So God is all powerful in all things. I learned some time ago that the first time you hear something totally different than what you've ever heard before, you tend to reject it. And in your head, you think, well, I've never heard that before. The second time you hear it, you think, I think I've heard that before. But the third time you hear it, you say, that sounds familiar, okay? So sometimes in teaching new principles to people, they might not receive it the first time they hear it. But if they hear it a second time or a third time, you know, sometimes that is actually needed. Repetition is needed for people to grasp on to new concepts and new ideas. You know, it's not just for the sake of having something new all the time. What we're wanting is accuracy with the Lord. There's also a story in the book of Acts about a man by the name of Apollos. And this is found in Acts chapter 18. It says, there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, but he only knew about the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And then there was this wonderful, wise couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And then it says later on, he vigorously was able to refute the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So he received the correction and the instruction of Aquila and Priscilla because he didn't have the complete message. Okay, he only had what he knew. And boy, he was bold. I mean, he was ready to contend for the faith of the gospel. But here's what I like about Aquila and Priscilla. It says they took him aside. I mean, that's love. I mean, they didn't publicly humiliate him. And they explained to him the more accurate way. And you know what? He was humble in heart, so he was willing to receive the correction that they brought. Wow. So, I mean, you know, even if someone gets it wrong, we can still show them love. Okay? We don't have to get into this fear and this anger and this stuff that has gone with these scriptures about false teachers, false doctrine. You know, we can do it from a position of love to restore the individual. I also believe we do it from a position of loving the flock, and we don't want them deceived as well. Sometimes we have to be firm. Okay. So, church wounds. Let's talk about this. I believe that as we go on in the days ahead in the church, there's going to be a greater presence of Jesus. There's going to be a greater glory in the church. And that is going to push out things that are false. Okay. The things that we have heard and that we have learned that are inaccurate. And I believe there's many people right now who can look back on their Christian experience, even what they learned as children. And as adults, they're looking at it and they're saying, man, that wasn't right. You know, and they've come away from church wounded, and they've not gone back because of church wounds and inaccuracy and the way that the gospel was taught to them, or even, you know, the spirit in which it was given. And so what the Lord gave me over the weekend, this download, was how to lead people in prayer for healing of that. Church wounds, how to lead people in prayer to break through the bad doctrine, to break through the false teaching so that they can receive the Holy Spirit and what He wants to give. So it begins with forgiveness, okay? And so these are just prayers that I've also seen in different inner healing ministries, but the Lord gave this to me just fresh over the weekend. And it's really important if you're going to receive healing, these things need to come out of your mouth. These are not prayers that you just think in your head, because the confession of your mouth will set these things in motion in your life. So we start out with forgiveness. I mean, if you can pinpoint a false teaching, something that was handed to you, something that you received, and you might even think of the person that spoke it over you, okay? And here's where you start out. You say, Heavenly Father, I forgive pastors, teachers, leaders, people in positions of authority, and you might even give their name, okay? Or maybe even people in your family, parents. I forgive them for false teaching. I forgive them of handing me bad doctrine. You know, and you might even want to be specific about what it is. Maybe it's about the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's about, you know, losing your salvation. Maybe it is about the nation of Israel. You know, maybe it's about women in the church. I mean, there's just a bunch of different things that we can recognize, you know, okay, that wasn't an inaccurate word that I believed, okay? I forgive this person for false teaching or the bad doctrine. And then you speak out, Heavenly Father, I release them from all offenses. Right there, it just cuts the chain. Right there, you've released them. It cuts that off of you. And let's go a step further. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I bless these pastors, I bless these teachers, I bless this parent, whoever it is, with grace. Father, I bless them with the mercy and the love of God that I would want to receive if I made an error. Okay? So phase one is we forgive, we release them, and that's, you know, we get that chain cut off of us, and then we bless that. Okay? And so then, having the right heart towards those who have offended us, it prepares us now for the healing work, okay, that needs to go on in us. And it's a process of repenting, renouncing, and breaking. So once again, we speak out these prayers to the Lord. Father, I repent of receiving false teaching. Okay, because I mean, it went in. And Father, we repent of this false teaching. We repent of believing it. We repent of receiving it. Father, maybe I was immature in my faith and I just didn't know. Maybe I trusted in man and didn't go to the Word. Father, maybe I was just ignorant, or maybe I just didn't know. But Father, I repent of that. I turn from the false teaching. Yeah, it's what it is. You're just basically turning away from it in the name of Jesus. And then we renounce it, okay? And what I want you to see is, like, if you could hold that doctrinal error, that false teaching in your hands, just hand it to Jesus. Just renounce it. Just give it to him. Just hand it to him. Let him take it. Okay? It's no longer yours. Amen. And then we say, I break the power of that false teaching off my life. I break its power to influence my thought life or the way that I go through my Christian life. It's, yeah, just totally free. Its power, its authority over us is now broken through the name of Jesus Christ and through our confession, okay? Sometimes you can clap, you know, and that actually breaks down the thought trees in your brain. We'll talk about strongholds in the mind in just a minute. But I mean, you know, we have these systems of thought even in our brain, and they have to be broken and restructured with truth. And so now we talk about receiving what we need. This is another thing that we will pray out loud. Say, Father, I receive the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to give me. And I give you praise and I give you thanks for it. And we, it's just a matter of speaking out the words that will set on fire the course of nature, and to welcome, Holy Spirit, I welcome you to retrain my mind. Would you bring me into that truth that you've promised that you would do, in Jesus' name? Guess what? He loves to answer that prayer. He will. He may do it instantly. He may give you a thought. He may lead you to a teaching. He may take you on a process. But I can guarantee you, he will answer that prayer. He's good. So, strongholds in the mind. You know, it says in Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And, you know, in our spiritual imagination, we see a stone fort, a stronghold that is guarded, and we have to tear that thing down like Jericho, right? But I want to propose to you that strongholds are actually thought systems in the mind where we are trying to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of the Word of God. And when God confronts a stronghold in our mind, it may be something that we have believed for decades. It's very uncomfortable to have some of those things, what I will say, deconstructed in our mind. And so if it feels uncomfortable, just recognize that God is doing a work, and you're going to be okay, because he's not going to leave you high and dry. He's not going to leave you without. He's going to come in and rebuild the correct way to think in your mind. I'll give a couple examples. Years ago, I was teaching a vacation Bible school, some kids, and I have a niece by the name of Susan, and I had all these pictures from all of her grades of grade school, you know, like kindergarten, first, second, you know, on up to seventh and eighth. And I gave this example to the kids. I said, okay, here's Susan in first grade, here's Susan in second grade. Is she learning the same things over and over again in second grade that she learned in first? And the student said no. And I said, well, what about this one? Here she is in seventh grade. Is she being taught the very same things that she was taught in fourth and fifth while she's in seventh grade? And they said no. And the point was, as she progressed through the grades, the education and the knowledge was increasing. And I believe for the body of Christ, this is what our Christian life is supposed to be. We are supposed to be increasing in what we know and in how we are growing into the image of Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to get to one place in our Christianity and then stay there for decades. If that's what's happened in our Christianity, that we are stuck in an old mindset, we can't break out of it, I want you to know that that's not right, okay? The Holy Spirit comes to destroy the things that were wrong and build up what was right and to lead us into correct teaching. Here's another example. You know, I love internet technology, but I want you to know that it really stretches me. Some of the things that God has had me learn how to do, it actually hurts my brain to have to learn something new sometimes. Like just recently learning how to do the podcast. I want you to know the first few weeks of it, I mean, it was an uncomfortable thing to do because I had to think and learn things that I didn't know before with the interface and with the program. And so if it feels uncomfortable to learn something new, it's just, you know, it's like we've got to exercise that muscle, get the brain used to receiving, you know, something new that God wants to give us. And I've got this other example. I love my mother-in-law. She's a farm wife, and she knows how to do things that I never knew people can do. And she can make her own soap, and she can perfume it. I mean, I've seen her with bullfish, a sink full of bullfish, and she's just ripping off the skins, and then she canned the meat. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, can't you go to the store and buy a can of that, you know? But anyway, the generation that she grew up in and what she had to learn, it's stuff that some of our young people have never even seen before. But this story that I love about her is when microwave ovens came out and her kids wanted to buy her a microwave oven. She didn't want one because she said, I'll have to learn to cook all over again. And sometimes that's how it gets when we get older. We get so set in what we've always known and what we've always done. We don't want to learn anything new because it hurts our brain. But God wants us to stay fresh in Him and allow Him to just continue making us into the image of Jesus, and that we would continue being teachable. You know, if He wants to make a 1 degree adjustment, you know, so that we end up in the right place and what He has for our lives. So, you know, just being willing, you know, just to say, Heavenly Father, I love You, and I thank You so much that You love me enough that You would bring correction, God, if I need correction, that You would teach me, Holy Spirit, that You would show me a more accurate way. And You do it without chastising, God. You do it without humiliating us, God. You do it because You love us. And so I welcome You in, Holy Spirit. And, you know, to be able to say, I was wrong, you know, maybe we found out something where we were wrong. And when we have to humble ourselves, I want you to know that's someplace that Satan can't go. A lot of times it's hard to humble ourselves because we think we're going to get pounded. But Jesus is the most humble. And whenever we bow low to humble ourselves, that's where we find Him. We find love. We find grace. We find mercy. You can't find the enemy there. He's too proud. He can't humble himself. Okay? So anyway, God is good. I am just always thankful for what He speaks and what He leads us into. I pray that this has been a help to you. If you have been a victim of a bad church experience through false teaching or through a doctrinal error, I just want to encourage you to forgive. You know, maybe go back through the podcast again, release that, bless those people, bless that person. Turn from the false teaching, hand it to Jesus, break its power, and then receive the truth that God has for you, okay? God is healing people this year. He's doing deep inner healing works. And so we shouldn't be surprised if the Holy Spirit confronts us on something, says, hey, let's get this right, okay? He loves us. Until next time, God bless.